thought you did a Torah Majda Chof Zayin Teves Toshin Pehe Rabbi Yossi Mo.
Turn this on. Right, good morning everyone, good morning. Again, it's a big success for all of us to be here to discuss. To discuss halachas, to discuss Torahs. Especially today, we've got some interesting shailas which has always been on my mind, and that is coffee machines, as well as Shabbos belts, a few other shailas I wanted to get through. Starting with coffee, I think coffee machines is extremely common now. Anyone I know has in their office a coffee machine. They're not so expensive. You can get quite a good one, even with a screen, a beautiful coffee machine, not so expensive together. You can get, they start from £50, £60, and get a good one for £150, £130. And coffee machine is, for some people, that's the highlight of the day. That's, it begins and ends there. And the coffee is a major part. And you want to get a coffee, it's beautiful. You just press one button, make sure the cup is there, and then you have a beautiful coffee, and it's with a design, and it's beautiful. And the question is, there's halacha, a mitzvah deraisa actually, your starting point is a deraisa, to do tefillas kelim. You buy something, you buy enough, you have a mitzvah deraisa of tefillas kelim. How do you do tefillas kelim with a coffee machine? Well, you ask, well, how do you do it with a toaster? How do you do it with anything else? We all know you have a machine, you have a toaster, you take it to the tefillas kelim mikveh, and you tovel it. Now, we were always nervous about that. It might get ruined. Rabbi Falk already told us years ago that there's no such a thing, as long as you make sure that you give it a good shake afterwards. As long as you make sure there's no screens there. If there's a screen, the LCD screen might get ruined with the water. But if it's not, no screens involved, it's a typical cheap and cheerful £25 toaster, even if it's more expensive, you're not going to have a problem, you're not going to run into problems. You put it into a warm area, give it a good shake afterwards, put it into a warm area afterwards for half an hour. Some people put it in an oven when it's off, right? You put the oven on for 3 minutes and then switch it off, and then put the machine inside, right? You put the toaster inside, because that's how you'll heat it up. We've never had such problems. We've never had any problems with these four machines. Coffee machines are more problematic because a lot of them have screens on. They're much more delicate. You put them inside, this whole machine house working inside, and if you put them in water, certain ones will become damaged. You won't certainly lose your warranty, but that's every time you'll lose your warranty. But besides for that, there's a good chance of damaging the machine.
Digital.
Right, if you've got a digital screen, a lot of times that will get ruined in the water. So the question is, what do you do? Are you going to tovel it and just take the chance? No. Very few people have told me they've done that. They've bought a machine for £85 and then toveled it, taking the chance that the machine is going to be okay. It's a bit nerve-wracking. You've just spent money on the product. What are the solutions to this shaila? And it's not a small shaila, it's not a chumrah, it's not a minik, it's something which the Torah says. We hear in Kriyas HaTorah that it's a mitzvah deraisa of toveling. You make a brocha, whether it's the rabbanon, whether it's the deraisa, the shaila is how it's made. How do you deal with the shaila? So you'll...
Even with a toaster, there was once I toiled the toaster, let it totally dry out and it was gone.
Is that your experience?
Never.
Very interesting. You live and learn, because from all the years that I've been dealing with this shaila, so many people have said that they've tovled it, given it a good shake, and never had a problem. Obviously, not straight after. Give it a few hours. Put it in the car in the summer. The car's very hot. I used to put my urns in the car, or you put it in a warmer area. It doesn't have to be too bad. You give it a good shake afterwards. Okay, look, there's always a first time. There's always, I'm sure it's happened to other people as well. But it's very rare, at least, to say that there's a problem with a toaster, with a cheese toaster, any of those machines, you very rarely hear of issues.
There are microchips in some of these things. You get water in there.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying from my experience, I've never heard. But certainly, when it comes to coffee machines, you have there's definitely grounds to believe that there's it might get ruined. What are the solutions? It's very common to hear that you get someone who knows what they're doing. You take the back off the coffee machine, and you unscrew, you disconnect a few of the wires inside of the coffee machine, internal wiring of the coffee machine. Then this electrician, he puts it back, and he closes up the back, and he gives it to you and says, now it's considered as if a Yisrael has created this kofar machine. We know that a Yisrael who makes a keli, there is absolutely no chiyuv in the world to do tefillas kelim. Right? If you make a knife, there's no chiyuv at all. The chiyuv begins when you buy it from a goy. So yes, you bought it from a goy, the kofar machine, but since you interfered and you sort of broke it to the extent that now it's not, you can't use it because he's detached, he's disconnected all the internal wires and then reconnected them. There is a svara out there to say that maybe this is considered that the Yisrael has created the kofar machine, and that would get you around the chiyuv tefillah. That is one way around. Sorry? Oh, hang on a second. It has to be in a way that only a woman, only an electrician is able to, he knows exactly which wiring to put where. I just want to mention this. Firstly, this method is not foolproof, it's not 100%. I'll tell you why. Because the idea that a Yisrael can take a keli and sort of dent it a bit and then repair it, that comes from a Chochmas Adam. The Pesach Tshuva brings it at the beginning of Kufchaf, and he says from the Chochmas Adam that if a person disconnects it, he makes it not good and then he makes it good again, that's considered that Yisrael has made it. But the Taz holds, that even if Yisrael interferes with it, he dents it, he makes a hole in it, and then he fixes up the hole, that doesn't make it as if Yisrael's made it. The Loshon HaTaz, the Taz is beautiful. He buys it, it's got a hole. Yisrael is masakne it with the kesef Yisrael. The Taz isn't so pleased about saying that the Yisrael just fixing up a little bit is okay. But the Maaser, the Chochmas Adam brings it. Interestingly enough, the Shevet HaLevi, Shmuel Vozel, is not so keen on relying on this Chochmas Adam. He says, "Lachein lehalocha, yireh that you can't rely on it." Udaloika Chochmas Adam, but it's not like the Chochmas Adam. Vahatema, it's shver. Shabal hapischei tshuva. He doesn't mention that from the Taz's mashma, not like that. Basically, you have this concept that a Yisrael can interfere with the keli, he can dent it and then make it correct, that he can repair it again, and that would be considered as a Yisrael has made it. That comes from the Chochmas Adam. However, some places were not happy with it. You'll find overwhelmingly we do go with this Chochmas Adam. Although the Taz is not happy and the Shevet HaLevi is not so happy. But there seems to be this idea that you can rely on the Chochmas Adam, that if a person interferes with the keli, that would be okay. I have a question for you. Perhaps that's only when a Yisrael dents the keli, makes a hole in the pot. You get a pot, Yisrael makes a hole in it, and then he fills up the pot. So then, by creating the hole, you literally can't use it. You try making pasta with a hole at the bottom. It's not going to work. So then you can argue and say that the Yisrael has created this pot. However, when it comes to the coffee maker, where an electrician just disconnects some wiring and then reconnects them again, maybe that's a bit different. Maybe don't look at it as if the Yisrael has sort of broken the coffee maker and then repaired it. All he's done is he's just cleverly disconnected some wires, leaving the coffee machine in its right state, and then reconnected it. I mean, let me just ask you, just if the electrician would interfere with the plug, right? You'll take out the fuse and things that I can't do, take earth and mix it with the other one, I'll be petrified to mess around with it. Right, I'd have to read up a lot about it to make sure that's all okay. So, you know, let's say a woman would have to do it. Are you going to suggest that's okay? That means that someone's going to just play around with the plug? That's not the coffee machine. Okay, take it a stage further. He is dealing with the coffee machine, but he's not actually dealt with the holder of the water, the insides, the innards, the internals, which is holding the coffee and the coffee beans. And there is a logic. Nissen Karelitz is of the opinion that if you're just dealing with the chashmal part of it, that's not attacking the actual keli to think that now the Yisrael's created the machine. It's interesting logic. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he held he can rely on it. Here again, I just want to bring out that this idea that you can buy a coffee maker and you can just sort of disconnect the wiring and then reconnect them again. Firstly, you'll have a backlash from the Taz and the Shevet HaLevi that says altogether Yisrael can't do this idea. This trick of denting it or making a hole in it and then repairing it isn't so ongonoman. But for that in itself, we rely on the Chochmas Adam. But the second point is, it's not so glut. The second point that's not so glut is that the Yisrael's only interfered with the wiring and not with the actual keli. So the Chut Shoni, which is a Rus and Karelitz, He wants to say, you not necessarily have this interference with the keli itself. He hasn't damaged the keli. He's just taken out some wiring and put it back in. So, okay, the svaras, you can see, because you see the svaras, the can and the can. You can see both svaras. Look, it's interesting. You're talking about a shayla with the raisa. So, I just want to suggest there's another mahalach, which was suggested before. Very straightforward mahalach, very straightforward. That means you go to a person, a non-Jewish person who you know well, and you tell him, I want to give you a present, right? Not complete present, but you want to give him a present. You want this coffee maker to belong to him. Sometimes people have employees, non-Jewish staff, co-workers, the boss. And you say, I want you to acquire this coffee machine. He has to pick it up. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Pesach tells you that a goy can be koina with hagbor. If it's too heavy, you do mashicha or something. But hagbor, usually they're not so heavy. You pick it up. The Mishnah Berurah in Tof Mem Ches, Sifkot and Tezvav, says you could be yotzev in hagbor. It now belongs to... Who does it belong to? The goy picks it up with the intention to acquire it. It belongs to the goy. Very good. The person asked in Shinichav Gimel, they ask, why are you not over the Issa Loisichonim? A beautiful question. And the answer is for your benefit. Someone wants to suggest that actually you should sell it because of that. But the Olam HaMikol to say, because you have a benefit from it, that's not called Loisichonim, you have a benefit from it. You give over ownership to the goy. Now the goy owns it. Who owns it? The goy owns it. Now you ask him permission, can you borrow from it? Can you borrow the coffee maker from the goy? Can you borrow it from the goy? But we're going to suggest not only borrow it from him, but rent it from the goy, pay him every year 50 pence. That would be the ideal situation in this case of the coffee maker. I'll tell you why. Just to say that I'm giving it to you and then I'm borrowing it from you, we know that the last Taz in Siman Kuf Chaf says, the idea of selling it to a goy and giving it to a goy is Mufurush HaShulchan Aruch, the last sif in Siman Kuf Chaf. Says the Taz, it will only work up to 30 days. Because once you borrow a keli for 30 days, says the Taz, you can't argue and say now it belongs to the goy. You're constantly using it, 2-3 coffees a day. This is yours, right? And Bishlam, if the goy used it, maybe you can think about it. But here, this is yours, right? So the Taz clearly holds that after 30 days, you've lost this allowance of giving it to a goy and then borrowing it from him. The Mishnah Berurah actually is Cheshesh V'is, and Shin Chav Gimel Sivkot Lamed Hei, he brings this Taz, and he says to him that you have to be Cheshesh more than 30 days. However, then again, you have a Machlokas, some hold, you see the Darchit Shuvah, he says that even forever, a person can rely on this Hatas. You have a Machlokas. To get around this Machlokas, beautiful idea, Rabbi Rubin says this, quite a few poskim says that the Baal Mechaber Oruch Shabbos, he suggests this, and he says that by renting it from a goy, every year giving him 50 pence, even the Taz will agree that you can consider it as if it's the goy still, and you're still renting it from the goy. Bishlam, if you just rent, you just borrow it. So then it's more of a chuchot lula. But if you actually hand over money, it's all about money. If you have to actually give him 50 pence for the year, and then next day give him another 50 pence, that is the best way forward, says the Rabbi Rubin, to avoid the shaila. It's a good shayla, but the problem is that a caterer is bechlal not posher, that he's not mechuyav to do tefillah. Some of us can think that a caterer, you open a catering service and you have forks and knives and everything for the Shabbos meals. So we think that there's an idea that you don't have to tovel it because it's klei schoira, something called klei schoira. If you have a shop that's selling knives, you don't have to tovel all your knives before you sell it. It's something called klei schoira, you're not using it. Some want to suggest that the caterer as well, when he is actually offering his cutlery, he's not eating it for himself, he's giving it for other people to eat. This svara is brought down, but however, the mainstream poskim are not happy with this, including Moshe Feinstein, Rishon Lezion, Oybach got a mefurish tshuva on this, who's not keen on relying on this, and you'll find a lot of kashrus organizations which require caterers to tovel their kelim. They wouldn't make a bracha because they're all sfakers, but they would require, at least when it comes to metal, I know certain cashless organization, they at least require metal to be tovled, because that's the shayla of a deraisa, and to rely on this svara klei schoira is a bit dodgy, so therefore they want to say that a person who's a caterer isn't so posher to claim that you're a klei schoira. It's not so posher to claim that. Yeah, that would also be okay. But it's easier over here when we're talking about you give it over to the goy and then you haven't got a shayla at all. So, again, this shayla you should know of... Go on. Yeah. You'll have to renew it. You should know, I look at the shayla of a coffee machine I don't take it lightly. It's been on my mind for years, how you deal with this. You've got a kafa machine, you've got a mitzvah in our Torah, it's like tekiyas shofar, like any other mitzvah we have, to tovel it. It's very tricky to tovel a kafa machine. There is, by the way, let me just mention it, while we're discussing Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, there's this wild machshava brought from Reb Reish in Chelkas Yaakov that says, because you have to plug in the keli to the socket, that becomes mechubel karka. We know you're only mechuv to tovel a keli. You're not mechuv to take your ovens, and you're not mechuv to take in your things which are mechubel karka. So he's got this idea that because it only works while it's mechubel karka, he says the potter. Now this is the poskim are bechalal not happy, starting from Moshe Feinstein all the way Ber Moshe. You have to see what they say about it. Shevet Halevi, some of them don't use it as a turf. By the way, you can see how low we treat this svara. Is that if you were to tovel a toaster, would you make a bracha on a toaster? Would you make a bracha on a cheese toaster? Most of us would, right? Although, according to the Chalkas Yaakov, if it's mechubel karka, you wouldn't, right? So you see, it's not so ungunam in the svar of the Chalkas Yaakov. Even
have to touch a Shabbos light because it's plugged in. Shabbos light would be
muktzeh. It isn't directly because of the karka. There are svaras to say that when it comes to a Shabbos lamp, you're talking about like a Shabbos light. So, yeah, it could be that even if it isn't considered mechubah l'karka, let's say alarm clock, which is not mechubah, it could even be that you've anyway got a heta to move it, because it's a kelish mechta l'heta, like the LED lights. You should know, the Shabbos lamps, which are good old ones, which are hot, that indeed would be also, even if it's plugged in. In fact, I discussed this with Rabbi Valk, I discussed with many posts about this, that it's only the LED lights, which is more softer to move the actual base. People want to know the whole time. You have an LED Shabbos lamp, can you move the base? You know, not always do you just have to, do you just want to turn the top? Sometimes you want to move the base, can you move the base? And many posting held that if it's an LED, it will be absolutely okay, whether it's plugged in, whether it's not plugged in, because there's no ash over there, only with the good old bulbs which get hot, that's considered ash, then it'll make everything a bosses. People have to remember, by the way, that a lot of times you have, let's say, these portable heaters on Shabbos, to move that with your hand is a real issue of muksa. Why? Because there's a hot element inside, and that hot element affects the whole heater to become a bosses, and therefore you'll only be able to move it b'shinoi with your foot, if that's the shloka derech. But to move it with your hand, I mean to move a hot plate, these sort of shayla will also be the same shayla. Anything which becomes hot would have the same shayla. To move it would have to be a fan heater. Yeah, exactly, a fan heater, because it gets hot. By the way, a fan in the summer, right, the fan in the summer wouldn't have this problem because it doesn't become a bosses because there's no hot element inside. Apparently, even if it's on blasting 3, it might become warm, but there's nothing actually, there's no heat involved. That's regarding, okay, so I'm not sure how we go on to this. We're talking about coffee makers, but it drifts off. So I think I look at the shayla of a coffee maker, and it's not a light shayla. So we had one suggestion that I actually spoke to an electrician yesterday. He showed me on his phone how he did it. I've got... It's beautiful how he disconnected all the internal wires. It's amazing. He did a phenomenal job. And then he reconnected it again. And he wants to know what the thing is. So if he's asking, I gave so we mentioned all these svaras that according to the Chut Shani, not necessarily have you dented the whole, the actual keli, so you wouldn't necessarily be able to say that you've created it. Yisrael created it. Again, Shem Zamar Oibach was Mekos, you have this Machlokas. I think the best thing would be is to actually hand it over, give ownership to a goy, make him be koinerit, it's absolutely his, and then give him 50 pence a year, that would also be another mahalach. Both mahalachim are okay. I think both are okay. I think the second mahalach has got a minor, you could do both. You could take the wires out and also and also hand it over to him. But I think it's not a light shayla. It's been on my mind for many years to see how we deal with it. Go on. So apparently, you can't see inside, apparently there are halakim which are metal inside, especially when it comes to the boiler, high specific boiler, you have a metal piece that becomes red hot, not red hot, becomes boiling, like your kettle. You can have a plastic kettle, but the inside's got a little bit of metal, that would be mechayev it with deraisa, because that's klimatchus, which is deraisa. Sorry? Yeah, exactly. If the worker decides he wants to go, you've got to give it to him. Yeah, if it's an expensive machine, you might not want to do it. You might want to rely on this other heta. Get an electrician to detach the wiring. Yeah, you'll have to rely on it. It's not the end of the world. Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach was okay with it. Again, Shaila v'Doraisa, I think it's a very chosh of a Shaila. It's not a Shaila. Trust me, Rav Moshe Feinstein did not discuss a Shaila. They didn't have these Shailas in those days. This specific one is very tricky. The actual coffee maker is a very tricky one. I had this. Someone asked me this. Can you just do it 5 years? The nusach, which the Hayantiga Poiskim are suggesting that every year, it seems that, you know, let me ask you, why don't we just do at the beginning? When we turn Bar Mitzvah, it comes to the Hatoras and Torim. For some people, it's very tricky. You've had the long slichas, you're very hungry. Some people are fasting, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And then after the long davening, you have to sit down and listen to everyone stumbling over Kol Nidre. Not Kol Nidre, the other one. Hatoras and Torim, right? Why can't you just once in your lifetime just set the record that anything you say, you're giving a declaration, anything you say. Ramesh Shlemvach explains that these sort of things, it has to be done regularly. Not more than once a year, you don't have to, but you've seen it from the Mishnah in Nadarim, that Rish Shata, there's a Musa of coming once a year and setting the record straight for a year. Okay, that's one Shaila. Well, I thought we'll get through five Shailas, but this is a very chosh of a Shaila. I don't want to rush this one. Next, while we're talking about Tfilis Kedim, you have to bear in mind, a lot of people have told me, they never thought of tovling their challah board. You have to realize that challah boards is chayv between his kelim. There's no difference to any other keli. The Bais Yosef already discussed pshuti kliyot, things which are flat, not always having a garden kli, but if it's made for a kli, then it is. It's certainly mechuyev to tovel. Someone asked that, you know, usually they make them in Eretz Yisrael, but apparently the research that I've done, that the glass they don't get, I would have thought every second shop in Eretz Yisrael has got a glass shop. But they don't. Apparently, they import it and they get it from a non-Jewish supplier. The glass on top. So this is the research I've done. I've seen it in a few Sfarim. Psak Mitzvahs mentioned this. Even so, that certainly isn't considered as finishing the keli. This is just the base for it, and therefore the person wants to suggest that with a brocha you could take your challah board, and with the base together, the best is Rav Deitch got a nice trouble to explain. The best is to tovel it together as you use it, not to dismantle it. Now, afterwards, you might want to dismantle it afterwards because it's to dry up, because it's been in water. But certainly, to take the challah board certainly requires tefillah, pashas with a brocha. It's a very interesting thing that some people can slip their mind after years not using a challah board and realizing, hey, I haven't tabled it. That's one of the classical ones to forget. Another shaila, which I've seen many times, I don't think many, probably about three, four times I've seen, is that you're standing by the tefillah scale in mikveh. Obviously, the person in front is doing it three, five times. I haven't yet found the makor to tovel things three times. Three times is the inyan al pi tshuva, state that you have to tovel things three times, to mekam in the inyan of Erev and Kippur, but not necessarily has your mug or your knife done any isurim. So the pashas, to tovel it once is okay, but you're waiting there, and you hear someone's got cutlery. He's got chinaware. He's taking his mugs, he's taking his plates, his bowls. He buys a new set of cutlery, chinaware, they're pretty cheap, and you tovel it, and out of his mouth comes a brocha. Now you have to realize that categorically there's no chiyuv at all to tovel chinaware, earthenware. Any earthenware keli is not mechuyev. It works the other way around. Chinaware, earthenware, when it comes to kashering, is a nightmare. You can't kasher. You can't kasher it. You can do bala ito, you can do other things. You can't. It's very shver. But it goes the other extreme when it comes to tefillah kelim, that there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Why we do tovel when you have a cup, a normal chinaware that you buy, is you tovel it because it's glazed. Glazid is a whole shayla in the Rishonim already. So we do it because of a chumra ba'alma. But certainly, you couldn't get away with making a brocha. So it's something to bear in mind, that if you have a set of cutlery you buy, you would have to, if you want to make a brocha, it would have to be other things you're making a brocha with, but not with earthenware. It's not something that you could be making it. Let's move on to... Let me just share with you a very interesting svara. This also bothers me a lot. And Moshe Feinstein helps us. Again, it's not necessary. It's a very interesting shaila. Are you allowed to take a flight? No shaykhs to coffee making. Maybe you want a coffee before you fly. But can you take a flight for pleasure? Go to Prague for Shabbos. Go to Barcelona. Can you just leisurely go somewhere? You're going to say, why not? We all do that. What's the problem with that? Let me ask you, when you come back, do you make hagoyim alachayim tov shemalani kol tov? Some people don't. The bells won't make a brocha. B'shem HaMalchus, some people won't make a brocha. There's the shaydas about it. But you'll find there's a shtak minig, yes, to make a brocha. And some only if you go over Yam. Some even if you don't go over Yam, go to Prague. Is there Yam? You've got a little bit of Yam. But in Europe, within Europe, yeah, some would say that not. But Ramesha held that you can, even if it's within land. My question to you is, you're obviously treating a going on a plane as a sakona, right? Because you're making a goyim. My question is, why would you be able to put yourself in a sakona for leisure? I've always wondered about this. I'm just this Shabbos, I came across this Ramosha. Let's say you don't need to go away. You just find Jet2, got very cheap tickets, £15 each way. You're very tempted to go. It's geschmack to go to the airport, take a flight. Ramosha Feinstein. It's not Nagel and Meister, because we all do it. I just want to point out, it's just beautiful how Ramosha puts it.
What
I mean, how can you drive a car? They say those people which are scared of airplanes, there's a very simple solution. Just go on an airplane, you turn your couple upside down, inside out, because statistically, there's a very few plane crashes with people which have gone on the flights with the couples upside down. Now, obviously, it just shows that statistics doesn't really help anyone. Hashem's got a cheshbon for everything. But certainly over here, the question is, why is it okay? It's just an interesting shayla, which I think Ramosha puts out beautifully. It's such a geshmak achap. It's not Ramosha Feinstein beautifully. He says, to put yourself in a sakana works with statistics. Statistically, Baruch Hashem, the flights that go, there's thousands that fly a day. And you don't hear, certainly not every day, certainly not every week or not every month, you don't hear of flights coming down. Maybe closer to some countries, you hear of more planes coming down more than other countries. But you certainly don't hear often, and overwhelmingly, this is not a sakana at all. Like you mentioned, going in a car could be a sakana. Especially some of the roads here in Manchester, there's definitely some of them are more masukin than others. But Zohar Moshe, when it comes to Hagoymel, you make Hagoymel for being in a matzav of a sakana, being on a yam, in a sea, is a sakana. Novas, you've created your shell, your shield, your teva, to avoid and bring down the level of sakana to almost nothing, to almost 100%, call it. It doesn't mean you weren't in a matzav of a sakana. It's a very interesting chap. Ramosha is beautiful. He said like this, when you're on an airplane, trust me, you're a makom sakona. Any bird that gets stuck in the engine, you're a musukan. Nova statistically is very, very low. So fine, that allows you to go for pleasure and leisure to go on an airplane. But you're still in a place of a sakona. When you're on a ship, you're in a place of a sakona. You've just created a beautiful ship, and you know all the weather's where it's going to go, east, west. It's a beautiful way of understanding it. Says Ramosha, you are in a sakana. You've just you've brought it down to almost nothing. But the fact is, you are in a matzav sakana. You have to thank Hashem for going malachon tov shemalem kol tov. Although statistically, you've got no problem going in it. I think it's an amazing chap, which has bothered me for years. How is it that you come home from a beautiful... From a different country, just for leisure, and you make a koimel to say, you know, I was in the matzav of a sakona. Hang on a second. Any operation, the person goes, understand the sakona. You don't put yourself in that. So why did he go to Barcelona? Yeah, the terrace is Ramosha, a beautiful way of understanding it. You were in the matzav of a sakona, albeit you pulled down the statistically, allowed you to go, because it wasn't the statistics of sakona were so low, that's okay. I just want to end off with a beautiful thought I heard from Reb Zvadia Cohen. From Eretz Yisrael, he's a real shtarke Talmud Chochem, and he's a Kohen, and he said a beautiful thing. This week we have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. And Pidyon HaBen, something interesting happens. There's a bit of a dialogue between the Kohen and the father. A very interesting question. My boy is Tefei. What would you rather? Would you want your child? Do you want your child? But you'll have to pay me for the child. Or do you want the money? This is who I is. I was Baruch Hashem Zoycha to make a Pidyon HaBen. He's asking a very interesting question. What do you prefer? Now, you know, yeah, after all the headache of the having a baby, maybe you can take them for the nights. Yeah, till the baby grows up. But certainly, you want the baby, right? Yeah. Oh, so there's a whole Torah about whose baby is. But at the end of the day, there's certainly a transaction going on. You can't do it on Shabbos, Lamashal. And there's some sort of transaction going on. And the Kohen, and the father answers, you know, so the Kohen says, do you want your baby or do you want your money? And the father has to say, yeah, I actually want the baby and give it. So it was Zvadi Kohen saying, sorry? Oh, yeah. And that could be B'shat. But Zvadi Kohen was mentioning... so you know, so anyone that's a Kohen can tap into this idea. So Zvadi Kohen was also a Kohen. Zohar Brisi mentions this one. Okay, so he mentions a very interesting story. He says that it's not talking about when, obviously this is all drush, and he's not talking about when the child's a baby, it's talking about when the child's 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old or 15-year-old and he comes home and he wants to tell you about your day and he wants to tell you, can you learn with me? Can we go out? Can we do this? And you're very busy. You're busy trying to make a bit of money. You're trying to get a discount, trying to get this discount, you know, trying to work out some system of saving a bit of money. On that is the dialogue between the Kohen and the father. The Kohen's trying to ask the father, my boy is tefei, would you rather your son, right, and leave out the offers and the other things which take up your time, or do you want the money? And that's a powerful, fundamental question that the Kohen is asking for the rest of the life of the child. Shkoch, shkoch. Yeah.